Chapter 17, Section 4, Hardships of War. In this section, we will explore the following questions. What was life like for soldiers in the Civil War? How did women contribute to the war effort? What problems did each side face during the war? Define: civilians, draft, habeas corpus, income tax, inflation, profiteer. Identify: copperheads, Loretta Janetta Velasquez, Rose Greenhow, Dorothea Dix, Clara Barton, Sojourner Truth, Sally Tompkins. Setting the scene. The Civil War caused hardships not only for soldiers, but for people at home as well. Southerners especially suffered from the war, because most of the fighting took place in the South. On both sides, civilians, or people who were not in the army, worked on farms and labored in factories to support the war effort. They used their mules to move troops and supplies. They tended the wounded. As their hardships increased, so did opposition to the war. The hard life of soldiers. On both sides, most soldiers were under age 21. However, when war quickly turned gentle boys into tough men, soldiers drilled and marched for long hours. They slept on the ground, even in rain and snow. In combat, boys of 18 learned to stand firm as cannon blasts shook the earth and bullets whizzed past their ears. New technology added to the horror of war. Cone-shaped bullets, which made rifles twice as accurate, replaced round musket balls. New cannons could hurl exploding shells several miles. The new weapons had deadly results. In most battles, 1/4 or more of the soldiers were killed or wounded. Sick and wounded soldiers faced their horrors. Medical care on the battlefield was crude. Surgeons routinely cut off injured arms and legs. Minor wounds often became infected. With no medicines to fight infection, thousands of wounded died. Diseases like pneumonia and malaria killed more than guns or cannons did. On both sides, prisoners of war faced horrifying conditions. At Andersonville, a prison camp in Georgia, more than one Union prisoner out of three died of disease or starvation. One prisoner wrote, quote, "There is no such thing as delicacy here. In the middle of the night, I was awakened by being kicked by a dying man. He was soon dead. I got up and moved the body off a few feet and went to sleep to dream of the hideous sights." Discontent in the North. Some Northerners opposed using force to keep the South in the Union. Supporters of the war called these people copperheads, after the poisonous snake. Other Northerners supported the war but opposed the way Lincoln was conducting it. In some Northern cities, the opposition led to riots. The draft law. As the war dragged on, public support dwindled. Soon, not enough men were volunteering to serve in the army. The government took action. In 1863, Congress passed a draft law. It required all able-bodied males between the ages of 20 and 45 to serve in the military if they were called. Under the law, a man could avoid the draft by paying the government $300 or by hiring someone to serve in his place. This angered many people. They began to see the Civil War as a rich man's war and a poor man's fight. Riots in the cities. Opposition to the draft law led to riots in several northern cities. The draft law had gone into effect soon after Lincoln issued the Emancipation Proclamation. As a result, some Northerners believed that they were being forced to fight to end slavery. This idea angered some white workers, especially recent immigrants to the cities. Like many other Northerners, some of these immigrants held racist beliefs. They also feared that free African Americans would be employed at jobs that they needed to. The worst riot took place in New York City during July 1863. For 4 days, white workers attacked free blacks. Rioters also attacked rich New Yorkers who had paid to avoid serving in the army. At least 74 people were killed during the riot. President Lincoln moved to stop the riots and other disloyal practices. Several times, he denied habeas corpus, the right to have charges filed or a hearing before being jailed. Lincoln defended his actions by saying that the Constitution gave him the right to deny people their rights when in the case of rebellion or invasion, the public safety may require it. Problems in the South. President Davis, meanwhile, struggled to create a strong federal government for the Confederacy. Many Southerners were strong supporters of states' rights. They resisted paying taxes to a central government. At one point, Georgia threatened to secede from the Confederacy. Like the North, the South had to pass a draft law to fill its army. However, the men who owned or supervised more than 20 slaves did not have to serve in the army. Southern farmers who owned few or no slaves resented this law. Near war's end, the South no longer had enough white men to fill the ranks. Robert E. Lee urged that enslaved African Americans be allowed to serve as soldiers. Desperate, the Confederate Congress finally agreed. However, the war ended before any enslaved people put on Confederate uniforms. The Northern Economy. The Civil War cost far more than any earlier war. The Union had to use several strategies to raise money. In some ways, the war helped the North's economy. Taxation and inflation. In 1861, to pay for the war, Congress established the nation's first income tax on people's earnings. In addition, the Union issued bonds worth millions of dollars. Still, taxes and bonds did not raise enough money. To get the funds it needed, the North printed more than $400 million in paper money. As the money supply increased, each dollar was worth less. In response, businesses charged more for their goods. The North was experiencing inflation, as a rise in prices and a decrease in the value of money. During the war, prices for goods nearly doubled in the North. Economic benefits. In some ways, the war helped the North's economy. Because many farmers went off to fight, more machines were used to plant and harvest crops. As a result, farm production actually went up during the war. The wartime demand for clothing, shoes, guns, and other goods helped many northern industries. Some manufacturers made fortunes by profiteering. Profiteers charged excessive prices for goods and the government desperately needed for the war. The Southern Economy. For the South, war brought economic ruin. The South had to struggle with the cost of the war, the loss of the cotton trade, and the severe shortages brought on by the Union blockade. The economy suffers. To raise money, the Confederacy imposed an income tax and a tax in kind. The tax in kind required farmers to turn over 1/10 of their crops to the government. The government took crops because it knew that Southern farmers had little money. Like the North, the South printed paper money. It printed so much, in fact, that wild inflation set in. By 1865, one Confederate dollar was worth only 2 cents in gold. The war did serious damage to the cotton trade, the South's main source of income. Early in the war, President Davis halted cotton shipments to Britain. He hoped that Britain would side it with the South in order to get cotton. The tactic backfired. Britain simply bought more cotton from Egypt and India. Davis succeeded only in cutting the South's income. Effects of the blockade. The Union blockade created severe shortages in the South. Confederate armies sometimes had to wait weeks for supplies of food and clothing. Guns and ammunition were also in short supply. With few factories of its own, the South bought many of its weapons in Europe. However, the blockade cut off most deliveries from Europe. For civilians, the blockade brought food shortages. Even the wealthy went hungry. "I had a little piece of bread and a little molasses today for my dinner," wrote plantation mistress Mary Chestnut in her diary. By 1865, there were widespread famine in the Confederacy. Women at war. Women of both the North and the South played vital roles during the war. As men left for the battlefields, women took jobs in industry, in teaching, and on farms. Women and the military. Women's aid societies helped supply the troops with food, bedding, clothing, and medicine. Throughout the North, women held fairs and other fundraising events to pay for the supplies. They succeeded in raising millions of dollars. A few women disguised themselves so they could serve as soldiers. Loretta Jeanette of Velasquez, for example, fought for the South at Bull Run and Shiloh. Other women worked as spies. Rose Greenhow gathered information for the South while entertaining Union leaders in her Washington, D.C. home. She was caught, convicted of treason, and exiled. Nursing the wounded. Women on both sides worked as nurses. Doctors were unwilling at first to permit even trained nurses to work in military hospitals. When wounded men began to swamp area hospitals, however, this attitude soon changed. Dorothea Dix, famous for her work reforming prisons and mental hospitals, became superintendent of nurses for the Union Army. Clara Barton earned fame as a Civil War nurse. She later founded the American Red Cross. Sojourner Truth, the African-American anti-slavery leader, worked in Union hospitals and in camps for freed slaves. In the South, Sally Thompson set up a hospital in Richmond, Virginia.